My father was an ordinary guy from Palmerston North who just wanted to have an ordinary life. He wanted a decent job, a decent take-home pay. He wanted a secure home for him to raise his family. What he got was a lifetime of hardship, and he died of a stroke at age 48, just a handful of years older than I am now. I dream of a world in which my dad is still alive. What would have given my father a better chance at a long and satisfying life? What would have made his story more like mine? Because like my dad, I didn't do too well at school. I left school at 16 with no qualifications and few prospects. I worked here and there. I spent time on the dole. After a few years, I found myself a solo parent on the DPB. I had the good luck to go to university and I got my law degree. I used the training incentive allowance to help with my study costs. I shared childcare with family and with friends. I sometimes had to use the special needs grant, remember that, to pay my power bill and to buy food when things got really tough. I got support when I needed it. My dad did not. So I am here for my father. I want every man, woman, and child in this country to have the chance of a good, ordinary life. And we can do so much more to help New Zealanders just like my dad. We can build a fairer society, an equal society that does not require the sacrifice of our people or the sacrifice of our environment to economic dead ends. Now, the Green Party is known as a champion for the environment. We love our country and we want to protect it. We are passionate about protecting our rivers, our land, our forests and our oceans. But we also want to look after all New Zealanders. And today, that is my focus. How do we mind the gap between the haves and the have-nots? What can we do about inequality in Aotearoa, New Zealand? Well, the first thing that we can do is make sure that everyone gets a fair go at decent work with a living wage. My dad was a labourer all his life. He worked on farms. He worked in orchards, he shot deer, he worked in a bread factory. But in the 1980s, the work dried up. There were 300,000 people unemployed just like him. And as time went on, it became harder and harder for a 40-year-old working class Māori man to find work. Poverty took everything from my dad, including his home. And here we are, just a couple of decades later, with 156,000 New Zealanders unemployed, 100,000 New Zealanders underemployed, 180,000 New Zealanders working at or near the minimum wage. The economic reforms of the 1980s failed my dad, and those same ideas, those same plans, are now failing our children and grandchildren. We have hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders struggling to survive just like my father did. Wage growth has kept up with the rising cost of living. John Key talked about that. But that is only good news for those who still have their jobs. John Key's talk simply hides what is actually happening to families today. His government is not protecting families from the rising cost of living. Unemployment has increased by 50% since John Key took office, just a few short years. These families are falling behind the fastest, unable to find jobs while having to meet the rising cost of fuel and food. And the government's answer to job losses in the private sector has been to cut jobs in the public sector. That is the extent of John Key's government's jobs plan. The Prime Minister took great pride in pointing out today that his government has reduced the number of full-time staff positions in core government administrations by 5%. In reality, many of the workers that John Key boasts about sacking will be driven to the wall. This means less spending, and it means more job losses. And John Key boasts about these job losses.
Point of order, the Honourable Tariana Turia.
My apologies to the member for cutting in on her speech, but there is somebody up here who is constantly shouting things and making it very difficult for us to hear up here behind us. And we do want to listen to this speech, sir.
I appreciate the Honourable Member's point. In fact, I'd ask, and it's particularly the government benches, I'd ask members please to show a little more courtesy to the House. There are so many conversations going on right now on my right. It's clearly taking no notice of what the Speaker's saying whatsoever. And I'd ask the Government Whip to make sure that the members stop this, you know, just endless, quite loud conversations. And to the person interjecting regularly down the back there, please show the House some courtesy. Where members are listening and interjecting, that's one thing, but where they're just carrying on loud private discussions, it's discourteous. I apologise, Honourable Member, but Matilia Ture.
Thank you, Mr Speaker, and tēnā koe e te whai. John Key is boasting about job cuts. Now, our minimum wage in this country is so low that Kiwis who work full-time still need top-ups from the government just to cover the basics, food and rent. The current take-home pay for a 40-hour-a-week job on the minimum wage is $409 a week. And in April, it will go up by about $28. And meanwhile, the average rent in Auckland is $416. You simply cannot support a family on $400-odd bucks a week. You cannot. The minimum wage must go up to $15 an hour as soon as possible. The minimum wage must go up immediately to help the poorest and most vulnerable families in our community. We know that lifting the minimum wage is good for the economy. There is an increased demand for goods and for services because people on low incomes spend most of their money. We know that lifting the minimum wage would also save the government money. It would save $1 billion from the government's social assistance budget. But instead of saving this money, we are subsidising employers who pay low wages. Their workers will put in a 40-hour a week, but will still need help to pay the rent and to put food on the table. The businesses who employ the most low-wage workers are big corporates, supermarkets like New World, and fast food outlets like Burger King. Last year, foodstuff supermarket companies made $16 million in profit while their minimum wage workers continued to struggle. Now, my dad was a kind man, he was a decent man, he was a peaceful man, whether he was in work or out. Just like the thousands of New Zealanders who now find themselves out of work. Now, John Key's government suggests that they are bludgers, but New Zealanders use support when they need it and they move on when they can. That's what I did, that's what my dad tried to do, and that is what New Zealanders, thousands of New Zealanders, are doing today. About three quarters of those on the dole are there for less than a year. Now, John Key has outlined major reforms to welfare that will severely hurt families and children. I want to tell you and describe what this means in a real life. If his reforms were in place when I had become a solo mum, I would have been forced to work in an unskilled, low-paid job instead of being able to care for my daughter. Because I had no school qualifications, John Key would have considered me unsuited to university and I will probably have never been able to go to university, let alone go to law school. And even if I had made it as far as the university door, with no training incentive allowance, I simply could not have made ends meet while I studied. That is the ladder of opportunity that Paula Bennett kicked out from behind her. That is the ladder of opportunity that John Key would have taken from me, and taken from my dad's first muku. Our vulnerable families are not the enemy, Mr. Key. They are families just like mine, and they are families just like yours. Since the Green Party arrived in Parliament, we have said benefits must go up, and we are firmly opposed to the benefit cuts that are signalled by the Prime Minister today. Instead of suggesting that we need to punish the victims of the recession, punish the victims of poverty, let's talk about how we can help. John Key talks about the importance of early childhood education, but his cuts in that sector have already seen parents pulling their kids out of early childhood education because they cannot afford the increased fees. There is no better investment in our families and our children than early childhood education. For every single dollar, we spend in early childhood education, we save up to $17 in health costs, in justice costs, and other social costs. That is a better return than 100 roads of national significance. John Key talks of the 220,000 children dependent on benefits as if that is their own fault, as if they are to blame. We can help by extending the Working for Families support to those families to help to pay for rent, for food, for warm clothes and the power bills. But instead, we are staring down the barrel of changes to welfare that will widen the gap between those who have the most and those who need the most. We will pay for John Key's mistake in hospital bills, in new prisons, and future welfare payments. We will pay for John Key's mistake and the lives we will lose to poverty. Growing up, one of the challenges that my parents faced was finding us a decent place to live. When my parents went out looking for a house to rent, they always would send my mother is Pākehā, and if my father went with her, we would not get the house because he was Māori. One time when we were very small, my mother had managed to find us a good house. But over the next few days, the landlord came to visit and he met my dad. And within the week, we had an eviction notice. We moved from that house into our car and we lived in our car for a period until we could then find another home. We moved out into a house in the country, and my family, we lived in a lot of old country houses because my dad could work on the surrounding farms, and those houses were very cheap. Housing remains a critical problem in this country. We have more than 10,000 families on the waiting list for a state home. We have exceptionally high rents. We have poor quality rental properties. We have severe overcrowding. We have third world rates of rheumatic fever that comes from that overcrowding and that costs our health system some $10 million a year. Poor housing costs lives, the lives of men and women in their prime. The Green Party has long said that a comprehensive state house building program to increase the stock of state houses by 6,000 over 3 years is the right place to go. It's the right thing to do. And this building program not only would provide homes for our families, but would create some 28,000 jobs. This building program would help New Zealanders who need a home, help New Zealanders who need a job, and help our struggling construction industry. And I can tell you, my dad would have loved a job like that. A job where he was building homes for the people and for the communities that he cared most about. But last year, John Key cut the State House building budget by $100 million. And what we have heard from the Prime Minister today suggests that he does not care enough about the 20,000 New Zealand families with chronic housing problems to bother to solve the problem. He aims to shuffle existing housing stock around, to push people out of their homes through the reviewable tenancies process. That will do nothing for the problem. There are not enough homes for the families who need them. This government's lack of compassion and absence of solutions for our families is gutting. We can be a better country than this. There are other choices that we can make. We can help our families. One of those areas where we can help is with the power bills. It's not just rent, not just food, with the power bills. One way to do this is with progressive pricing, which would lock in a low electricity price for every household up to a certain threshold, around 40,000 kilowatt hours a year. In many homes, this would be enough to keep them warm and dry at an affordable price. New Zealand, we are unique in that we still own the majority of our electricity generation assets, the big renewable projects that our grandparents built. So we have the ability to look at progressive pricing schemes which would help our most vulnerable families stay healthy and warm, ensuring a fair price for families for their power is just one of the reasons we must maintain full public ownership of our power companies. Selling our power companies, as National is promising to do, will make it harder to achieve cheaper and sustainable power for those who need it the most. MMP is also part of the solution. I know that me being in Parliament would have blown my dad's mind. He didn't live to see it. No one in this place ever talked about the reality of his life. No one in this place ever saw him as a person to whom they were responsible. No one in this place bothered that their decisions would determine the course of his life. That is until MMP allowed for people like him to be here and to speak on his behalf. So in this year's referendum, I am voting to keep MMP and to improve it. The gap between rich and poor grew very rapidly here in Aotearoa between the mid-80s and 2000. Real incomes for lower and middle-income families fell, while the income of wealthy households soared. The mid-1980s is when work dried up for my dad. He died in 1995. When my dad died of his stroke, when he had a stroke, he couldn't even get decent help from the hospital. He was disbelieved, he was discounted, he was dropped on the floor. This wasn't intentional mistreatment. It was just that same casual disregard that dogged my dad his whole life. At the hospital in those last hours of his life, he really needed to be treated with some dignity. Just as he deserved to be treated with dignity and respect throughout his whole working life as he sought to take care of his family. My dad was sacrificed to dead-end economic ideas. He did not live to see the shift to green, smart green economics. And I wish he had, because smart green economics does not demand the sacrifice of our environment. Smart green economics does not demand the sacrifice of our people, and it would not have demanded his. Our government plays a key role in shaping a fair society. This Parliament can help to guarantee the essentials and make sure that every New Zealand person, man, woman and child, gets a fair go and a bit of respect. So, I am here for my father, Richard Rōpata Erewera Ture. I am here for the many thousands of New Zealanders just like my dad, Kia ora.